Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back, Cryptids of the Corn podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
I am the deaf Emily.
Your headphones have leveling control.
Yeah, but I could hear you outside the headphones.
And together, we're Cryptids of the Corn podcast coming from Ronald McDonald's Studios. How are you doing, Emily?
Still fat and sassy.
People want to know how you're feeling.
Fat and sassy.
How does it feel to be having active contractions for the last 5 weeks?
Uncomfortable.
You had one just before you sat down for this.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time since you've been on for listener stories. Listener encounters. I have a little barrage. We're going to try to get 2 episodes out of this. I don't know how. We'll just kind of play it by ear. So you're doing good?
Yeah.
Everybody's been asking. I'm trying to get a hold of everybody's emails and, you know, respond to everybody. But thank you all for the love and support. We've been up here since
March 15th.
March 15th. And as of recording this, it is April 21st. We've been here for a long time. Thank you for, I don't know when this episode comes out. We're batch recording a bunch, just getting ready for the babies to be here. So I have Lucas, Jacob, and Max. And they've all three sent separate emails. We're going to try to do this. We'll see how the episodes go. I'm hoping for 2. But they all asked about how we were doing. They all sent us prayers and love. So I just want to say thank you, all you guys, for submitting this and sharing your stories with us. And for the kindness and support we've gotten.
We really appreciate it.
Yep. I'm glad you talked because you were nodding. And I know it's hard. Like sometimes we forget that, you know, they can only hear us, not see us. I know I talk with my hands and everything like that. So we're going to start with Max's. And he says, before I get into this, I'm supposed to remind everybody about Patreon in the members space. Go to there. Check those out. They're great. They're awesome. We have so much fun with the Patreon members. Like I think April's event was homesteading and the bloop that reemerged. I know you're looking at me because it hasn't happened yet. Well, homesteading's this Friday,
okay.
As of recording this.
I was like, I mean, you guys kind of talked about it the last
time. No, we have a whole thing planned for homesteading because it's time. Yeah, that's funny. And then we have merch. So check out the shop. And it's just cryptidsthecorinth.com. Go to the shop tab. There's all kinds of t-shirts, all kinds of everything from organic UFOs, giant salamanders. Trust Dogs is our newest one, which has its own special episode coming out at the end or at the beginning of May, I believe, about dogs versus the paranormal. In Patreon, it'll be Bigfoot versus the paranormal the same week. Or sorry, dogs versus Bigfoot. Talking all over. It's been a long time. So, you ready for Max's encounter?
Yes.
From Max. Hello there, Cryptids of the Corn. I am sending you an eyewitness account of a few separate things, and I have labeled each story. So we're going to do Thunderbird. Thunderbird. So I was getting ready to fall asleep because it was late at night, and out of nowhere, three individual jolts of lightning flashed, and a torrent of rain began to be hammering down on my roof. I looked outside my window, and I find the lightning was just randomly striking the creepy forest behind my house. Let's pause right there. You have a creepy forest behind your house. Enough said.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever have a place like that growing up, or just like there's bad things there? Good radio.
No.
No. No, we always think. We had this one little tiny cemetery, like literally like 50 or 60 headstones. And by our house, and we always scared the zombies were going to come out of there and get us as little kids. So anyways, hammering down on his roof, striking randomly the creepy forest behind his house. This is really unusual, even though I got thunderstorms often in the summer. So I walk outside and find that, unusually, there is no thunder. So I'm like, what the heck is happening here? And then basically I hear this whoosh coming from the forest. I whip around and see a humongous dark figure flying out of the forest, and it looks like lightning is erupting from the edges of its wings. I would say that it probably had a wingspan of about 26 feet. I mean, the thing was absolutely huge, and it barely flapped its wings. But as it did flap its wings, all I heard was a deafening sound of thunder. Now, this isn't the only weird thing that's happened in that's happened the beautifully clear night of June 4th, 2018. So as I recovered from this experience, I went outside to meditate and stargaze. I looked up at the sky, seeing all the beautiful stars, planets, and constellations, and suddenly I fell asleep. I wake up around 2 in the morning, and then all the stars are gone, except one. But as soon as I realized, it wasn't a star, because right about then, it dashed across the sky, zigging and zagging. It started to smoke. It started to fall to the ground. And just about 1,000 feet in the air, it imploded. That was my horrific story. I've got plenty more, so expect more experiences from me. Sincerely, Max. Max put his real name on here, but I'm going to go with Max because I didn't get permission to use his real name. But you know who you are, Max. So let's talk about the Thunderbird first. Does it sound like a Thunderbird to you?
I would think so.
I mean, 100% like that iconic. So Thunderbirds are said to, every time they strike their wings, to create lightning and thunder. The sound of thunder is the Thunderbird wings beating. Depending on which tribe's legends with the Thunderbird, they are said to be guardians of their underworld. Not like in... You know, underworld doesn't mean hell. It means like spirit realm for them. So they're kind of the gatekeepers. So Thunderbirds are super powerful. It's very different than a lot of the other Thunderbirds we've had submitted the story. And this is very much more the paranormal or the supernatural or the mythical Thunderbird, as in the spiritual Thunderbird. But yeah, I mean, could you imagine seeing... So 26 feet would be about the size of some of our bigger... pterotorns, which are our largest flying birds. And then there was, you know, obviously pterodactyls and stuff like that got much larger than that. Quetzalcoatlus being 43 foot wingspan is the big ones. Would you imagine seeing a bird or a bird-like thing 26 feet wide?
I would cry.
And Max, I got to ask you, 26 feet is a very exact. I'm just curious how you got to that number. But yeah. No, it really sounds to me very much like the iconic Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more thoughts?
No.
Oh, come on. What's Emily thinking?
That if I saw it, I would cry because mm-hmm. it would pick me up.
You just would start crying?
Well, I mean, if it picked me up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fair is fair. Okay, so let's get to his second encounter that he submitted for this time. Basically, a light, a star amount of light that started, that was frozen, and then it started zig and zagging until it started to smoke, then crashed towards the ground. It was starting to head towards the ground and then imploded. What do you think about that?
Did it like hit something or
no? So about 1,000 feet above the ground, it exploded. So it exploded before it hit the ground.
So are they like, I'm thinking in Harry Potter, like the Phoenix, like when they're switching phases.
So okay, they're different things. He didn't see the bird explode.
Okay, that's where.
Okay, I got you. I got you. No, okay, so no, it was just a whole different encounter. I'll reread it just so you got it. So as I recovered from this experience, I went outside to meditate and stargaze. I'm looking up at the sky, seeing the beautiful stars, planets, and constellations. I suddenly fell asleep. I wake up around 2 in the morning, and all the stars are gone, except one. But as soon as I realized it wasn't a star, because right about then, it dashed across the sky, it zigged and zagged, and started smoking. It started to fall towards the ground, but just about 1,000 feet above the ground in the air, it imploded.
So like an orb?
So it sounds like it was the same maybe night.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, more like an orb. It imploded towards the end. So there's all kinds of ideas I have for this. But yeah, so go ahead. Now that you know a little better. I'm
going to lean towards like the orb thing.
What do you think orbs are? Out of curiosity. I don't have a good answer what orbs are.
I mean, I was just thinking like, because a lot of the times when there's the Bigfoot, there's like an orb encounter around it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know if like the Thunderbird kind of was the same way where like they would travel together or like equal opportunists ordeal.
You know, I think there may be something to that. Orbs, I don't know what orbs are. I know they do have a high association with the paranormal. So like you said, when Bigfoot's around, I don't know. A lot of times, I don't think Bigfoot and the orbs are related, but they do appear in the same area. But same could be said with Bigfoot and UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people, we did a whole episode, that was one of our better episodes as far as the numbers. Bigfoots and UFOs, the connection. And I don't know if there's a real connection besides maybe they like the same area. Maybe if their portals are opening and closing, that they're just another thing from the same place at this door. So they all kind of bum rush in. But yeah, no, I'm with you on the orb idea. I don't know what orbs are. So with the zigging and zagging, I have to bring up so scientists like to use ball lightning to explain away a lot of UFOs, even though ball lightning has only been seen once and never proven. Seen by a scientist that studied actual lightning. He didn't believe in ball lightning until he seen it one time himself. And it was freaky. He said it was like it was alive. Like this big ball of electricity was like walking around like a person. So he doesn't know what it is. And so scientists will say, well, you know, they've seen ball lightning, but they don't know what ball lightning is. So it's just saying, you might as well say it was a ghost because you don't know what a ghost is. So it could be ball lightning, you know, this erratic zigzaggy movement. Now, with the Thunderbird, he's seen the Thunderbird emitting electricity from its wingtips, actually shooting off lightning. So it could be one of two things. It could have been lightning from that, like ball lightning, or a giant plasma discharge. And plasma can kind of act almost like it's alive. So plasma, we talked about the plasma experience. Plasma, to me, a couple times I've seen it in labs, almost looks like a fish, the way it moves. Like it's swimming through the air, bouncing around like a trapped fish. So what if this is a plasma discharge from either the portal the Thunderbird was opening or closing, or just because the Thunderbird was producing so much electricity.
Like out of defense?
Out of defense or just display. Maybe it's how it opens or closes these doors. I don't know. I don't want to see whatever was trying to eat a Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good animal to be around, a good mm-hmm. thing to be around. But yeah, so what do you kind of think about ball lightning or plasma?
I could see that being an option too.
What do you think ball lightning is? Nobody knows, so there's no wrong answers. I'm just curious what you think.
I'm going to guess it's a ball of lightning.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Fair is fair.
No, I don't know. I think it could just be like excess like charge from something, like be it from a Thunderbird or
like portals or
portals opening or
maybe the Earth's electromagnetic sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what it is. It just it happens a lot. It also could be just a normal UFO crashing. It is, you know, we talk about coincidence a lot on the show that sometimes two weird things can happen.
Synchronicity.
Well, synchronicity is the other way. Emily's favorite word. We don't talk about that documentary anymore.
Mm.
But yeah, could it be synchronicity or could it be just, you know, correlation without causation? They just both happen to happen at the same time. And like, you know, Max is outside looking at the sky. And I think we talked about that. Like, there were so many UFOs seen during the eclipse because, in my opinion, everybody was looking at the sky. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, most big chunks of this country were all staring at the sky at the same time. I don't think there was more UFOs. I just think more people were looking at the sky, so they seen stuff. So maybe that's what happened here, that, you know, he just was happy to be outside at the right time. It is hard to, you know, when there's a Thunderbird nearby. Anything to add for Max's encounters?
No.
Max, thank you for sharing. I know I can't wait for you to submit more stuff. You know, we love doing these. We haven't got to sit down and do these in a long time, so it's a lot of fun for us. So please submit more. Before we read the next story. Oh, wait, Emily. Who's that over there?
Holy moly. Who knows? Anything could be possible.
I just had to push the buttons for him. Before.
He's here in spirit.
Before we do the next encounter, I do want to play our sponsor ad. Are you ready?
Yes.
Suey! I got me this hot, fresh squonk steak, but man, it tastes bad. Jay, you got anything to fix this up?
I think you need some seasoning on that squonk fixer-up.
Well, what do you got?
How about you try this right here? It's called Bigfoot Breath. Raw garlic seasoning made from fresh garlic.
Give me that. Well, it did make it taste a lot better. Jeez.
Brought that squonk right alive, didn't it?
You know, I'm going to have to kill more squonks to use more of this seasoning.
Oh, how about you try this instead? How about you try my spicy garlic seasoning?
Oh, give it here. Suey! That's good stuff.
Spicy, but not too spicy.
That's perfect. Where can you get these delicacies?
Oh, you can find these on flavorsforest.com. This is our newest spice that just been created. And it's from Flavors of the Forest.
Make sure you all get some at the links down below. We'll catch you. Suey!
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BADLANDSRanch.com. Factormeals.com/corncrew today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
And we're back. Just so you guys know, we listen to those when you guys listen to them every time. Now, is that, which one do you like better, the squonk or the Bigfoot?
I never heard the, what?
There's a squonk ad and there's a Bigfoot ad.
I never heard any of them.
Emily, the Bigfoot ad is the one they did, the Flavors of the Forest made the animated one.
Oh.
He literally showed us pictures. They made a whole diorama and everything in his living room for that. That's all hand done, old style.
Was it? I don't think I saw it.
Okay. Well, it's on Instagram. Everybody check it out. Playersofforest.com. Use our link below so we get some credit for it. We're it's really yummy. Bad about using our link.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people post a lot of things. I've hid some in the seasoning cabinet here at Ron McDonald Studios. All right. Now, we're going to talk about Jacob and his UFO.
Is he a werewolf?
No. Jacob starts with, "Hello again. I'm the one who sent the little person footprints. I seen him. I'm still saving that for a different thing because they're really good, really good pictures Jacob sent. So, yes, we're going to save those. But he said, I just wanted to tell you about my UFO sightings. A few months ago, while driving to work one morning, early in the morning, around 4:30-ish, I noticed a very bright star. At first, I thought it was Venus. But then I thought it was way too high in the sky to be Venus. Then I thought maybe some trees or something got in it, and by the time I could see that part of the sky again, it had disappeared. So as he's driving, trees start blacking, mm-hmm. Then it comes out. 4:30 in the morning is early. You remember when I had to drive to MBI at 4:30 in the morning? That sucked. Anyways, I didn't think much of it. But then a little bit later, I was stopping to turn onto US 12, and I see three bright stars, in quotes. As I'm looking up, I notice that they're moving across the sky. And as they are moving, they form a triangle and sort of just kind of fade out. I was panicking. Then for the next couple hours, or next couple of months, every couple of weeks, I would see a very bright, usually only one, but a couple times, a couple bright stars. And as I was watching them, they would just slowly dim and dim and dim until they just weren't stars. And they would just vanish. It was so weird. Always they seem in the same area of the sky, but I swear they weren't stars. The brightness would catch my eye while I was driving, and I would look and watch it as it slowly dimmed and dimmed until nothing. My brother rides with me to work, and I never told him or anything because it would always just happen so fast. I'd see the bright star and watch it dim then to nothing. Finally, I told him to look at the stars, and sure enough, they disappeared right as he was looking at them. He thought it was really weird too, so at least I have one witness. Ever since then, I think I saw maybe one more time. But besides that, I haven't seen anything since. Always looking every morning though. Anyways, I wanted to share this with you guys. I love the podcast and hope everything is going great with your family. From Jacob. Thoughts, young Emily? Sniffle into the microphone a little closer, please.
I thought I was far enough away.
Very good microphones.
I don't know. I got a sinus thing, so.
Yeah, so do I. It's I don't know if it's pollen or whatever. Atlas has some stuff going on. So what do you think? So he sees the first time he sees it, it's a star and it dims to nothing. Then he sees it form a triangle. Then a couple more times he sees a bright star. So it's bright enough to catch his attention. Mm-hmm. So that's unusually bright, you know, compared to all the other stars. It has to stick out. And then it fades to nothing. And then, you know, he sees it. Once his brother sees it, though, it stops showing up.
I wonder if the brother caught, like, the tail end of it trying to, like...
phase out?
Yeah, like a Star Wars.
Do you think it got mad? That the brother's seen it?
I think it just, like, they reached the point where, like, they were ready to move on to where they were at. Like, they were trying to get the speed. That's why they went. Or, like, the power, I guess.
I'm trying to understand.
So, like... he originally saw, like, the one light, and then it went out.
So this is over months, like, many times.
Oh.
Sorry, maybe I didn't read it right.
Because the way I was taking it was, like, he saw the initial light.
All in
light.
One time?
Yeah.
So, no, he's seen this months.
Okay. Then, I don't know, I feel like they then reached their point or mission or whatever. And then once the brother had seen it, they were already, like...
there, I sniffled into it, too.
Already on their way. To go to the next place, so they hyperspeeded.
So, in my opinion, the UFO phenomenon, as we know from tons and tons and tons of eyewitnesses, is a highly psychic phenomenon, it seems. And by that, I mean, that seems to, a lot of UFOs seem to either want to react with one person, or interact with one person or a small group of people. There's a lot of evidence suggesting by encounters and data that the UFOs want to present themselves almost like it's a psychic phenomenon. Like they're not really, like, they may look like they're nuts and bolt things or whatever, but they're not real. Like, as in what we define, like, you, they're not a craft. It's not a device you can go touch. So to me, it was showing off to young Jacob, and it was showing off. And then I almost get the impression that once his brother seen it, the phenomena got mad that, it, you know, he spoiled the fun and then turned off. Because a lot of these UFOs are connected with a lot of fae legends even and stuff like that. And fae are like hyper. You can make fae mad for stuff you don't really understand and stuff like that. I don't know, though. But that's what I got so far. But, yeah. Is that all you think? Just the triangles thing is a weird one, too, because so many UFOs are these three light triangles that form everywhere.
Or is it like three little ones, like instead of like a big mothership that's the triangle, it's like three little, like, I don't know what to call them, like scouts.
Okay.
And then they had to like form the triangle to make it back to.
So Hudson Valley. Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, yeah. So they're just making a formation, or you mean they're connecting or making formation?
Like they're connecting, but it has to be in the triangle shape.
I get you. Yeah, to no. Be able to people have described that. Together. People have described that they are all like almost like puzzle pieces, and they fit together to like maybe form the mothership or move, like you're saying, bigger distances. You know, mm-hmm. And they split off. The Hudson Valley UFO we did months ago now. I don't know when this comes out, but I'm going to assume a month ago at least. The Hudson Valley UFO, they had these gigantic UFOs and seen little ones buzzing in and out around them all the time. And they thought those were the searchlights of those guys.
I could see it.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap up, do you want to share, tell us about how you and your dad used to go Bigfoot hunting?
I mean, we just would go out in the woods and do calls.
Well, tell us about that.
I don't know.
What would happen?
I mean, we would just do calls, but we never would, like, get anything back.
Well, yeah, but where would you guys go?
Usually we did it, like, at the campground because there was, like, the big woods behind, like, one of the, like, circles we camped in. And it had, like, a hiking trail and everything through it. And so, like, we would just go back and walk the hiking trail and do calls.
Which campground is it?
Thousand Trails in Wilmington.
That's the one that I think had a Bigfoot sighting, like, or near it, right, last summer.
I couldn't.
I think it's the one that had the Bigfoot. What was?
We also used to camp. We did a lot of camping, like, growing up. Mm-hmm. So there was, like, East Fork Park and I can't remember them all.
Yeah. What's some of the Bigfoot calls you would make?
Dad would do, like, whooping, and I would smack on trees.
Let's hear the whoop. Give us your best whoop.
No.
Come on. We're having fun.
I don't know.
Like, is it... Go ahead. You know how many times I've been on stage and made Bigfoot noises?
Yeah, but that's you.
I know.
You're the socialite.
People want to hear you.
They're hearing me.
Yeah, but make some Bigfoot noises.
I don't know. Dad would just be like, whoop.
I couldn't hear you. What was that, sweetie?
Whoop.
Whoop. Yep. Whoop. Almost like Zoidberg.
Yeah.
Any other sounds?
No, that was pretty much it. And I would smack the trees.
What conferences do we have coming up?
We have... Well, when does this episode come out?
I'm going to say May.
Okay.
So we still have... Jay's going to Bigfoot and Banjos.
Which is June 8th, and that one is at Salt Fork.
Is that, I believe it's at the campground and not the lodge, but we'll check on that with Hickenbottom. Check either the Instagram or the Facebook page for more information about that.
And then...
I don't think I'm going to that one. There's a small chance, but I doubt it.
We'll just have to see when the girls are here. And that's Atlas's birthday weekend.
Yeah, I'd take Atlas with me.
Sunday.
Yeah, I would take him with me and go little father-son camping trip with a one-year-old.
And then... June 29th
is Monster Fest
in Canton.
And I'll be by that one. I'll be there at that one by myself ish. I may have some special guests coming with me to hang out. And then we don't have anything in July. I will be at, me and Jay will be at a library in Defiance, which I'll post stuff about that. Doing a Bigfoot talk.
And then?
Then it's, I can get the rest of my thing. Then the first week in April is the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. August. What did I say?
April.
August. I did that on the phone earlier, too. Brain's fried. August, the first weekend of August. And that's like, the get your tickets for that one. B Mills is putting that one on. It's so much fun.
And it's a Dola.
And it's what?
It's a Dola.
Yeah, Dora. It's Dora.
I thought it was Dola.
No, it's Dora. It's a Dora corridor, which adults know what that means.
Dora.
Yeah. But no, we're speaking at that one. We're super honored. B is going to come on the show and help promote it here in a little bit. But that one's awesome. And then Squonkapalooza, we're also speakers at again. Another great crew of people run that one. It's Cryptotheology and Cryptid Comforts, right?
Yep.
And those guys are great people, and the conference was so much fun. The first one ever was last year. Same with B's conference, right? Oh, B's done it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And so they're great conferences, and they're back-to-back weekends.
Yep, because that's August 10th.
Yep.
And then September 14th is Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2.
Yes, and that's in Dowaljack, Michigan. Eric from Uncomfortable runs that one. That one's going to be a lot of fun. That one's a really fun one. It's a smaller event. But it's more intimate. It's a lot of fun. The brewery is great beer, great food.
Food is so good.
Do not drive after you leave there. Make sure you got a ride, because that's a fun one.
Even if you're not drinking, you'll go in a food coma.
Yeah. And then is Mothman next?
Yes.
We're not vending or anything, but we go and hang out. We're going to do bus tours, I believe. It's kind of the plan, is we're going to take our bus down and we're going to take you out to the TNT plant if you guys want to come hang out with us. We can only do 12 or so at a time, so we'll have to kind of plan, email us and everything like that.
And that's September 21st and 22nd.
Yep, and we'll be down there for that.
And then the last one's just Crypticon, which is November 23rd and 24th.
And then I think we're going to try to add maybe some live shows at the end of this year, and then obviously we're going to do a lot next year. But yeah, so if you have a podcast you'd love to hear us do a live show with, let us know. And that's an in-person, buy ticket kind of show. But yeah, thank you guys for hanging out. Emily, thank you for reading some listener submitted stories with me. Anything to add before we go?
No.
Good radio. All right, guys. Bye.
guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.